everybody, Dan Bickley here, and when we come on the air Monday morning, the regular season will be over. Where will the Suns be? Don't miss a minute, starting at 6 a.m. on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Oh, they definitely look like they're chilling. They've been playing like they're chilling, you know? And I appreciate that. Don't get too high, don't get too low. But at some point, you've got to just, like, you know, kick somebody in the ass. I mean, and book's that guy who can tell them what needs to be done. I mean, I don't see the fire out there. I really don't. I don't see it. And you know, with Book, I've never seen him like he has been the last few games. I mean, he's there, but, you know, you've seen him just get mad and just punish people.
Yeah.
And I don't know that he has to do that, but it sure would be nice if his attitude was that, because he's a guy who can call people out. He's a guy who can make sure people are doing the right thing at the right time. And when you've got KD and Book and Bradley Beal, who have all been all-stars and led the league in scoring and done all that stuff, people are going to listen.
Tom Chambers this morning with Wolf and Luke.
But he thinks Book can do it.
Yeah, he does. That's what he said. You disagree?
Yes.
Okay.
I love Book. He's been one of the greatest Suns players in my lifetime here. And we owe him a lot of gratitude for dealing with what he dealt with those years they were winning 20 games, and that he's here now. And, I don't see myself ever turning my back on Devin Booker. But you are what you are. And I don't think that Devin Booker is a born leader. And that doesn't take anything away from my feelings of him as a player and what he's meant to the team and the organization and all of that stuff. But I don't think he's that guy. I've never thought he was that guy, which is okay. Not everybody could be that. Kevin Durant's not that type of guy.
Right.
I don't think Booker is that guy. I don't. So I agree with everything Tom Chambers said. And I thought that was a great conversation. I just don't think that Booker's the guy to do that.
Yeah, I think there's almost like two separate issues here. There's the issue you're bringing up about Devin Booker and his leadership abilities, which I think is a fair conversation to have. And I think the other conversation is just the chillin' comment itself. It was so odd and out of character and strange, and Devin Booker had to know that was not going to go over with the fan base very well, and he still said it anyway, which there's a mystery behind that I want to know why he was so intentionally aggravatingly blasé about it after that game, right? Because he knows that word is going to get parsed and he's going to get ripped and fans are going to be pissed that he said it, and he still did it anyway. And I want to know, and I don't know if we'll ever know why. It just kind of speaks to like this larger issue of the locker room and the coach and where things stand and how things are going. I'm going to play one more from Tom Chambers, which kind of shocked both of us when he said it. He openly questioned some of the decisions that are being made about this team.
They've got so much talent. But right now, I mean, you know, at what point of the season, like with three games left, you decide you're going to start Royce O'Neal? I mean, Grayson Allen's been your guy all year. I mean, it's just a little late for some of the things that are being tried right now. So, and I love Thaddeus Young. I mean, he came in and he's solid, you know. But yeah, Now all of a sudden you're not playing Bowl, you're not playing Eubanks, you're not playing any of the other guys, because you went to three guys off the bench, and two of those three guys are just shooters, you know. So I'm frustrated as well. I just hope that it all clicks. But right now, it doesn't seem like it's bothering them nearly enough, playing the way they are with the talent that they have.
He's right on it's not bothering them enough. We've had a problem with that. He's also right on, like, there's three games left in the season and you want to make these changes. Like,
yeah,
I don't agree with that either. I don't think you could do that. That's a panic move in some ways.
And that dovetails perfectly into the conversation we wanted to have here about a team that, here we are, we've talked all season long, literally the entire season, about, okay, when they get healthy and when they have everybody on the floor, then they can start to figure it out. They can start to figure out who gets the minutes and who plays and who's in the playoff rotation and all the stuff you need to figure out and all the stuff you need to have buttoned up going into the playoffs. Cambo, we got two games left. They haven't figured nothing out. They haven't figured it out at all. They're experimenting with Thaddeus Young instead of Drew Eubanks. They're starting Royce O'Neal instead of Grayson Allen. And it does. You use the word and you're spot on. It's got a desperate feel to it, right? Like it's got a panicky, yep, desperate, Hail Mary-ish kind of feel. And that does not make me comfortable at all going into the playoffs.
These moves remind me very much of Monty last year deciding, do I go with Torrey Craig or Terrence Ross or do I go with T.J. Warren, or like he just didn't know who to go with.
Just didn't know.
Do I go with the offensive guys in Terrence Ross and T.J. Warren, or do I go with Josh Okogie and Torrey Craig? And it was just like, it dumbfounded him. He had two guys that were offensive-minded, two guys that were defense, and he couldn't figure out. Monty couldn't figure out who to play and how to play those guys last year in the playoffs. You remember that well.
Of course, I remember it very well. The difference to me this year is that for the most part, since the trade deadline when they acquired Royce O'Neal, the hand has been dealt for Frank Vogel. He knew the players. He knew the personnel. He had time to figure it out. He had time to, right? Like, with Monty, everything felt very last minute because he didn't have Kevin Durant until right before the very end, right? So they were really unstructured and unsettled until that final week when they got everybody back and it was time to kind of see how it meshed. There haven't been a lot of players who have missed a lot of time on this team. Not at least since January or February. They've been mostly whole. They've been mostly healthy. And Frank Vogel has had time to experiment and figure things out. And here he is kind of making panicky, desperation-like moves with two games to go to see who fits.
I'm going to ask you this a week before we know. We may know who the Suns are playing by Sunday night, or we may not know until after Tuesday, or we may not know until after Thursday.
Okay.
But I'm going to ask you right now. Outside of the play-in tournament, do you think there's anybody that will pick the Phoenix Suns to win their first round matchup out of the major national media guys?
Yes.
You think somebody will pick them?
Yes.
Somebody will look at them and say they could beat the Nuggets.
As long
as they could beat the Thunder.
As long as
it's Minnesota?
It's Minnesota. If it's anybody else, no. If it's OKC, no. If it's Denver, no. Minnesota, yes. Somebody will. Somebody at ESPN.com, somebody at ESPN.
We'll pick the Suns to win.
Somebody will, yeah. For the reason that, and I sent you a story today from The Athletic, and it's nothing we haven't talked about 100 times before, but it still blew me away. Player tiers. NBA pre-postseason player tiers. Tier 1. Kevin Durant is a tier 1 player. Tier 2, Devin Booker is a tier 2 player. The Phoenix Suns are, they've got Kevin Durant listed as the 5th highest guy. They've got Devin Booker listed as the 11th best guy. And it continues to boggle my brain how a team can have that much talent on this roster
and not put it together.
You just wonder if
the pieces don't fit. You got great pieces, but do they fit?
Yeah. And does the coach not know how to make it fit? Or does the coach not know how to communicate what he wants to them? Or is the message not being received? Whatever the case may be, something seems to be amiss.
Yeah, losing the first round, and we might have a tarmac-type firing here. Like, we might have like a firing on the tarmac.
Lane Kiffin, like, come off the plane, we got to talk kind of thing. Get ready,
Diamondbacks. He might not be able to get on the plane.
Get ready, Diamondbacks fans. The Diamondbacks kick off a 3-game series against the Chicago Cubs starting on Monday. We are excited to give you the chance to win some tickets to that. Tune in today during this 5 o'clock hour. Listen for our special Chicago-themed sounder. And when you hear it, be sure to call in for your shot at winning. All right, 2 games left for all NBA teams. So many different outcomes. We'll run through them all next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Arizona sports, D-backs, Cubs, ticket giveaway.
Oh, yeah. Great classic song.
And Gambo just had his back scratched.
I actually put my headphones on quickly for this one.
Right there.
This is my favorite Chicago song.
Oh, really?
It's my favorite one.
Wow.
Because when it picks up, it picks up great. It's a great song to work out to. It's a great song to work out to.
You've only got 10 seconds left, so it's not going to pick up. Got a
call number
for me?
6.
Call number 6, 602-260-9870, 602-260-9870. Poor Lauren's like, well, hurry. It's going to pick up really fast and it's going to run out.
When it gets to the feeling stronger every day part, it's so good. It just really just builds and builds and builds and builds, and it just hits
crescendo
you.
Moment.
Then it just there hits you. You.
Our final pair of tickets to go see the D-backs and the Cubs next week. Caller number 6 at 602-260. That's what you said, right? 6?
Yes.
602-260-9870. You're going to go see the D-backs and the Cubs next week on us. On Monday, we're going to know. We're going to come in here and we're going to have an idea. Either the Suns are playing on Tuesday, they might still an outside chance. They're going to be playing on Wednesday in the 9-10 matchup, or it's possible the Suns aren't going to be playing at all until next weekend when they open up the first round of the playoffs. We don't know. There's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of moving parts all over the NBA, top of the division, the bottom, all of it. What we do know about the Suns is that the path to the sixth seed and not having to deal with the play-in tournament is a real simple one. Either they go 2-0 and the Pelicans go 1-1, or the Suns go 1-1 and the Pelicans go 0-2. That's it.
You got to win Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin.
That's right. You're giving us are you standing in front of the board? You know, there's red states, there's blue states, yes. And Gambo's giving you the path to victory. We've broken it down by county. Mm. It's that simple. Suns go 2-0. The Pelicans have to go 1-1. The Suns go 1-1. The Pelicans have to go 0-2.
And we have no freaking idea what they're going to do. They're capable of going 0-2, 1-1, 2-1. We just don't know.
No, we don't.
We just don't know. It's a tough team to figure out. Got to see what they want to play for. Being in the play-in tournament is not the worst thing if they're the 7th seed and they're playing at home. You'll play a game on Tuesday. You'll be at home. Hopefully you win. And then you get a few days off to rest. The more rest, the better. This team needs the rest. It's been a long season. It's been a tiring season. There's been a lot of minutes logged by their main guys, and they really could use the extended rest. But if they don't get it, I don't think 7's the end of the world. I really don't.
As long as you win, 7.
If you win, yes.
If you win. If you lose, 7's going to feel like the end of the world.
Right.
Because now you're
a tired team playing
Friday.
Right.
You have to play Friday.
And then again, either Saturday or Sunday.
Yep. In an elimination game to see whether they're even going to get into the playoffs.
It would be Sunday. They wouldn't play Saturday.
No, they wouldn't play. They'd play on Sunday. So it's there's like degrees. You're right. You're not right. And all they need to do, by the way, speaking of paths, and if we're standing in front of the color-coded map, if they just win one of these two games, just one, they are guaranteed no lower than 7th. They will be at the worst
at home,
the 7th seed at home Tuesday night in the 7-8 matchup. That's the worst case if they win one of these games. But you harken back to something that I think we would all agree as Suns fans collectively, everybody listening to the sound of our voices right now. We're going into this game tonight. We don't have the first bleeping clue what to expect from this team. We have no idea. None. Are they going to give us their full effort? Are they going to play, you know, lazy and disinterested and disengaged? We don't know. We never know with this basketball team.
I'm done even. Look, every time I expect that they're done with the ridiculous, okay, your best players are out. Like the other day they played the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard and James Harden.
And Paul George.
And I was at it. Well, the first time.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize.
And I was like, okay, like this isn't going to happen again. Like they've learned their lesson. It's not going to happen again. What happened? The Clippers beat them. And like, so I don't know, man. I just like, this is a very difficult team to figure out. I don't know what they don't know what they're going to give you. It's a team that you worry about. You just worry about them. If they don't get off to a good start. But I think you said earlier, like they could win by 20, they could lose by 20. We just don't know. I'm tired of like thinking, you know, what this team is going to do. Just watch the game and we'll find out when the game is over.
Yeah, I am certainly past the point of trying to predict what it's going to be. Which is the shame of it is that I kind of feel like a week ago, we sort of had them figured out. We had a read on the Suns. They were playing better. They beat the Cavs. They beat the Pelicans. They beat the Timberwolves. They competed hard against the Pelicans on Sunday. They lost. They didn't have a great second quarter. The Pelicans went nuts from the three-point line. The Suns were one or two more Grayson Allen made threes or Kevin Durant made shots in the fourth quarter from possibly beating the Pelicans and putting mostly an end to this conversation. And it feels like ever since then, they've just been unhinged. You know, they've lost. They're out in the forest and they don't know how to get out. And because of that, I don't know what's going to happen tonight. Now, the other things around the league to keep an eye on and the games to keep an eye on tonight around the NBA, The two biggies are the Pelicans at the Warriors and the Lakers at the Grizzlies. Those are the two to really keep an eye on tonight. The Pelicans at the Warriors is the really, really big
one. That's the big one.
Because you're trying, and I'm only bringing up the Lakers because
they can catch you.
Well, and because the Lakers play the Pelicans on Sunday, and I'm trying to figure out what they're going to have to play for on Sunday. And we, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, do the Lakers, do they have cause to rest everybody on Sunday? Is there nothing on the table for them? But you're right. The Pelicans-Warriors is the big one. The word just came down from the Warriors that Jonathan Kuminga and Gary Payton II are out tonight. Everyone else is active. Klay will play. Steph will play. Draymond will play. Chris, Dario, all of that. Everyone else is going to go. Those two guys are out.
Okay. I mean, that's Kuminga's a pretty big loss.
Yeah,
it is. I mean, that's a pretty big loss.
Yep.
And the good player.
And the Pelicans are expected to get Brandon Ingram back, just not tonight. They're expected to get him back Sunday against the Lakers.
Okay.
Trying to forecast this, it's impossible. I think we've spent all day, hey, if this happens, if that happens, if that happens, if this happens.
You got a gut feeling? I mean, we've got literally 35 minutes left in the weekend. You got to, on Monday, are we going to be talking about a game on Tuesday?
Yes. That's my gut feeling.
Your gut feeling is that on Monday, we will be talking about the Suns having to play on Tuesday.
What's your gut tell you?
I think that they're going to win both of these games and get to six.
Okay. So your gut is telling you the Suns win out and the Pelicans will lose either one tonight at Golden State or Sunday at home against the Lakers.
Yeah. Lose one. I'm a glutton for punishment.
You're a sucker for this
For this feeling that I've had, like this team's not going to be a play-in tournament team. This feeling that I've had that they're just too good. That how can this roster with two elite players on it and Nurkic and Beal and Grayson Allen and Royce O'Neal, and how can this team be a play-in tournament team? So I'm going to go, listen, I might be wrong, but I'll just take that with me that I think they're going to find a way to win the two games and New Orleans will lose one. Now, Kuminga being out's a big deal to me because that is a big athletic power forward and he scores about 17 points a game. And so I think that's tough. And I don't know, you know, Golden State looks at times, Golden State has looked pretty tired too. So we'll see what Golden State has left in the tank.
We were speculating on that earlier. There was a longtime Bay Area columnist, Tim Kawakami, who tweeted out during last night's game that Curry looks tired.
They played last night too. Both teams played last night. How does the NBA have a schedule where all these teams are playing important games and they're back-to-backs at the end of the season?
I don't know.
Come on.
And in that regard, the Suns have one benefit is that everybody's on the second night of a back-to-back but them. The Kings are on the second night. The Pelicans are on the second night. The Warriors are on the second night. The Suns are not on the second night of a back-to-back. So all these teams that are kind of dictating their fate, all of them should be extra tired except for the Suns. Whether that means anything or not, again, is anybody's guess because nobody knows what to expect from this team. Text us your thoughts on the FanDuel text line. As always, we'd love to hear from you at 620-620. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, it would appear that the Arizona Coyotes franchise is about to get maybe the owner that they deserve in all of this. How much closer are we to this story being done when it comes to the Coyotes and the relocation rumors? We'll give you the latest, including what's going on with the players right now in Edmonton, next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Burns and Gambo, what's on tonight?
All right, what's on tonight? The games that we are going to watch this evening, and it is brought to you by Global Credit Union. 12 branches here to serve you. Become a member today at globalcu.org. Gambo, we got a busy, busy night of local sports. Everybody is in action. The Coyotes are taking on the Edmonton Oilers at 6 o'clock. That one you can catch on the Arizona Sports app.
Ooh, so Bill Armstrong probably has addressed the team by now.
I would imagine.
Okay.
We will let you know what we know about that in just a moment. Cardinals are taking on the Diamondbacks tonight. The St. Louis Cardinals are taking on the Arizona Diamondbacks tonight. 6:40 first pitch. That game can be heard on ESPN 620. We'll preview that one and give you the news about Eduardo Rodriguez. Not good. His rehab program has kind of been shut down for now. And then the Suns and the Kings tonight. 7:30 tip time here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Pregame coverage with our good friend Tim Ring begins at 6:30 tonight.
Ringer!
As it's a, we all know what's at stake for the Phoenix Suns. That is what's on tonight. The Coyotes, the D-backs, and the Suns all in action this evening. And, of course, join us Monday. We're not done yet, though. here on the Burns and Gambo show. And we're going to circle back to the Coyotes because Gambo referenced it a second ago. Our friend Todd Walsh reported on Twitter earlier today that Bill Armstrong, the Coyotes general manager, was in fact on his way to Edmonton to talk with the players about what's going on. Clayton Keller today was asked about that. Here's what he said.
You know, we've just tried to focus on, you know, hockey. And, you know, since I've played in Arizona, there's always been a lot of rumors and stuff like that. So I think, you know, we've tried to do as best we can to, you know, just focus on hockey.
We'll see what Bill said to the guys in the locker room. There's one thing that's really clear that came out of today. I mean, first of all, the Coyotes made some players available to talk about the Salt Lake City, potential Salt Lake City move. Okay, the only player who had addressed it up until this point was Logan Cooley after they beat Vancouver the other night. And it was kind of awkward, and they didn't want him asking questions about it, but they did anyway. Today, Clayton Keller met with the media. Lawson Crouse met with the media. And the discouraging part was that despite the fact that you've been reporting this for a week, and that every single sign in the world says this is going to happen and this is going to be announced next week, the players keep talking like, man, we don't know any more than you do. And that just feels wrong.
The players, the staff. I'll even tell you the staff. The Coyote employees today received an email invitation from HR at noon about a happy hour at 2:30 where they were expecting that the team was going to address the employees. My understanding is that neither Alex Morello Jr. or Javier or any of the top guys were there, and no one addressed the situation. So the employees were told that there would be a happy hour. This situation will be discussed. And then no one of authority showed up at this happy hour. And nobody addressed the situation at all to the staff, who were all going to this happy hour thinking they were going to hear something. Meanwhile, Alex Morello Jr. is posting about a Scottsdale Fashion Square starting tomorrow, where there'll be giveaways and more at the first ever Coyote Collection pop-up party, where you can buy some Coyotes, Arizona Coyotes shirts.
Yeah, that's from the Coyotes official Twitter account, but Alex Morello Jr. is the one that is in charge. It's been...
Go get your final shirt.
It's been a nightmare. And honestly, the soundbite that we've played today when it comes to the Coyotes that rings the most true for me is from Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet 590 in Toronto. We had Andre Tourney on yesterday on the Wolf and Luke show, and he was very candid, very honest, and very human about how difficult this story has been for him to navigate with his players, because they all have questions and they're all concerned about picking up and moving to a different market and all of that stuff. Here's what Friedman said yesterday.
He feels like a lot of other people that this has been very poorly handled, and people deserve to have a better idea of what's really going on. And not only has he said some things publicly, but I understand, and particularly yesterday, as they were en route to Edmonton from Vancouver, he made some statements privately in support. I think he basically asked, like, where's the information? And people deserve to have information. They deserve to know what's going on. And I've heard that it's been hugely appreciated.
That he's basically the only one who's kind of fighting for him. Now, I don't know what Bill said to the players today in the dressing room. I imagine word of that will leak out and get out at some point. You've been reporting on this for more than a week. You have said that April 18th is the expected date, give or take a day, in which Gary Bettman's going to announce that the team is relocating to Salt Lake City.
I believe now this is the only option. And I believed it a week ago, but I've had people in the organization tell me there are three options. One is we could relocate temporarily. We could just sell the team, or we could sell it and then try to get an expansion franchise down the road if we're able to build the arena. I have not heard that they're not going to go for the land, so I don't know that, but I do expect that Ryan Smith and Salt Lake City are going to get the Coyotes. The Coyotes are going to continue to try to get this bid on the land. Whether they get it or not, I don't know. If they get the bid, Bettman can dangle the carrot out there. Like, if you're able to build the arena, okay, we could come back, because they've come back to many areas before. They came back to Atlanta. Oh, sure. They came back to Winnipeg. They've come back to several areas. So they'd love to be in Arizona. They just can't be in Arizona right now because of the uncertainty and not having an arena to play at.
So you're saying of the three options, which is just sell the team outright and that's that, find a new building to play in Phoenix, or sell the team to Salt Lake City but continue to pursue an arena, yeah. It's that third option is the one that, you believe is now the only option for the team.
I was when I got this, right? Yes, but when I got this information last week, that was truly the only option.
Okay.
Now, the Coyotes would tell me that there's other options, but I was told that this is truly the only option. They're leaving.
Let me throw a wrinkle in this.
Yeah.
And I don't even think it's much of a wrinkle because I've heard other people bring this up, and I don't think we've ever really talked about this. Does this ownership group deserve an expansion franchise? Does this, with the way they've handled this, with the way they've handled all of this, there's part of me that has to wonder about, yeah, Bettman and the NHL might want to be in this market. Do they want to be in this market with this ownership group, given how things have gone down?
It's a really good question.
Over the last few months.
It's a really good question. We're going to see stuff come out after this. There's a lot of people that have a lot to say that have been holding back that work in that organization.
Yeah.
And they're going to want, and after this is done, they're going to want their voices to be heard.
And I'm not saying that.
And we're going to find stuff out.
Just because of a social media post here or a tweet there. I'm just talking about long term. Man, if the Phoenix market is really so important to Gary Bettman and the NHL, wouldn't you want a Ryan Smith type, you know, like you have in Salt Lake City,
who's
going to be a better steward for the organization and a bet, right? Because if there's one thing we've kind of learned about this, and Mitch in my team's message here, he asked me the question that prompted the thought, why does this ownership group deserve another chance should there be an expansion franchise?
And I bet you Bettman's betting that they're not going to get the land and they're not going to build the arena, so he doesn't have to worry about it.
Maybe. But he would still...
But you avoid any lawsuits and any hassles just by put the carrot out. If you're able to get it done, I don't believe you're going to get it done, but okay. If you're able to get it done, I'll give you an expansion.
Yeah, because I almost feel like that, and this is just me speculating, you have been reporting on this from day one, and I'm just the guy over here talks and speculates and kind of comes up with an idea. But that's the idea that's kind of been pinging around in my head most of the day. Like, are we keep talking about an expansion team coming here. Are we really sure that this group is going to be the one that owns it if it does? You know, that the league would want group.
Do they deserve it?
Yeah,
they deserve it. Based on a lot of the stuff that we've heard, the answer might very well be no. But Bettman may have given him a promise that if you're able to build the arena, we'll give you the team.
All right. So again, April 18th. That's give or take what we're still kind of targeting.
That's the date that continues to be told for me for about a week now. Whether Bettman changes it to a different date or not, I don't know. But that's the date that keeps being told to me. And everything's in process. All the transfer of assets. Everything that all the T's crossed and I's. All of that stuff is in the works right now for this to get finalized.
I'm sure it's a very complicated thing. Doing what the NHL is doing right now. Def Leppard and Journey are bringing the 2024 Summer Stadium Tour to Phoenix on August 23rd. Head to the contest page right now at arizonasports.com for your chance to win tickets. Paul Goldschmidt back in the Valley. He and his new team are struggling. And the Diamondbacks got some news today about the injury situation that you're not going to like. But we'll tell it to you next anyway on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Arizona Sports, the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball. We're checking in on the Diamondbacks as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, brought to you by Sonic. Drive to your nearest Sonic location for the Oreo Big Scoop Cheesecake Sundae for a limited time only at Sonic. And by 72 Sold. 72 Sold. Get a higher price for your home.
D-backs baseball coming up tonight, the opener of a three-game series against the St. Louis Cardinals. You'll be able to hear tonight's game one over on ESPN 620 as the Diamondbacks come home after taking 2 of 3 against the Rockies and getting swept by the Atlanta Braves, their first road trip of the year. Tonight's pitching matchup against the St. Louis Cardinals, and then we'll talk about them and what's been going on with their season. The lefty, Steven Matz, gets the start for St. Louis. He's 1-0 with a 1.74 ERA so far this season. Brandon Pfaadt gets the start for the Arizona Diamondbacks. He is 1-0 with a 5.06 ERA. His last time out, he gave up 5 earned runs in 5 2/3 against the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, Steven Matz is a pitcher that, you know, was with the Mets organization. He was a bright young lefty, a lot of talent, good lively fastball. So he's a guy that's going to come at. He's going to come at you. He's off to a great start for them. So it should be a good pitching matchup with the talented lefty against the talented talented young righty.
Yeah, in Fott's 2 starts so far this year for the D-backs, he had a really good one against Colorado. 5 innings, 5 hits, gave up 1 earned run, didn't walk anybody, struck out 6. But as I mentioned, against Atlanta, and he was all right early. It was kind of late when he gave up a big 3-run homer that skewed the numbers quite a bit. The 5 earned runs and the 5 2/3, that's why he's got an ERA right now over 5. The St. Louis Cardinals come in, and they're not off to a great start either. They're 6-7 on the season. The baffling thing about them is that the two guys they were counting on to be great, and maybe they will be because they've historically been great, Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado, have not been great so far this year.
No, no, and it's really led to a problem offensively where they just don't score a lot of runs. They're 13th in the National League in both team batting average of just .219 and OPS at .642. Their 50 runs scored rank 11th in the league, the National League. They don't steal bases. You know, this isn't the Willie McGee and Vince Coleman Cardinals. They have 3 steals. They've been caught 3 times. So just an offense that has really struggled. And that's the main reason why you see St. Louis off to such a tough start.
Paul Goldschmidt so far this season is hitting .182 with a .544 OPS. He's got 1 home run, 6 RBIs. He's only got the 1 extra base hit in the home run. No doubles, no triples so far for Paul Goldschmidt. So he is off to a not so great start. 16 strikeouts as well so far in the season in his 12 games that he's played. Arenado's numbers a little bit better, not a whole lot better so far for the St. Louis Cardinals. Going to jump right to the injury report, because today's injury report is brought to you by Wilderness Athlete. Accelerate your recovery with Hydrate and Recover from Wilderness Athlete at wildernessathlete.com. This is Torrey Lovello pregame talking about Eduardo Rodriguez and pulling back on his throwing program.
E-Rod threw his bullpen a couple days ago and felt some tightness, and we decided to pull back on his progression. So what does that mean? What is the timetable? I'm not sure. I don't know what that means right now. I just know that he spoke up, which we've asked our athletes to do, and he felt that tightness, and we're going to continue to progress as we can. But for right now, we're going to pull back on his throwing program.
Yeah, it's tough. That's tough, because that's, again, we saw me and you were going through the timeline. You're going to pull back, and that's going to take you to the end of April, and if you ramp it back up, and you've got to have a couple of minor league rehab starts, now we're looking at what? Somewhere between the middle of May and late May, mm-hmm. before you would get him back at the earliest, mm-hmm. If everything goes according to plan. So, you know, now, you know, originally you were just thinking he was going to miss a few starts. Now you're like, okay, now you're starting to worry about, you know, is he going to miss 33%? Is he going to miss a third of the season?
Right. Is it going to be more Memorial Day before he comes back? And Torrey acknowledged before the game, yeah, it's not great news.
Not great news. My heart hurts for E-Rod. But this ball club is ready to accept any challenge put before them. They're a tough baseball team. They are resilient. They've had to make many adjustments and be very adaptable. Big words inside of our culture. And they've done a great job. They've done a great job. So it'll be next man up as it's continued to show up over the past, as it has been for the past several games. Next man up, and these guys are getting after it.
All right, let's give you news on some of the other injured Diamondbacks, or the Diamondbacks who aren't available, because Montgomery's in that category as well. Updates on Sewald, Montgomery, and Perdomo.
Paul Sewald continues to play long toss, scheduled to throw a bullpen tomorrow. Jordan Montgomery, I explained to you when his next outing is. Perdomo had the surgery, the procedure. I've been in very close contact with him, trying to get in touch with him daily, just to let him know we're all thinking about him, and he's in real good spirits. But he's in the he's still in the treatment phase of his recovery.
Okay, so Montgomery, we expect back. So we expect him to make his Diamondback debut at the end of next week. That's when he had targeted. Sewald throwing a bullpen over the weekend is encouraging
sure.
news. Because he
yeah.
won't have to build up arm strength to come back. At least not a lot of arm strength. Not like a starter would have to.
No, and the Diamondbacks bullpen really righted itself in that Colorado series, you know, at the end. The Diamondbacks have the third best bullpen ERA in the NL at a 3.56 mark. So, you know, the bullpen overall has had to pitch some tough. And he had tough games in Atlanta, but you take those out. Rod, who's a nice bounce back in Colorado, what they did the last couple of games.
No doubt about it. And Alec Thomas is progressing well from his hamstring injury, but still a ways away from starting to do some base running or even the defensive drill. So it doesn't sound like he's going to be back anytime in the next few days either, as he's working on that. All right, Diamondbacks are back home. Let's get you a roof report for tonight's game.
D-backs Roof Report on Arizona Sports 98.7 in the Arizona Sports app. Brought to you by Renko Roofing. Over and above for 20 years and counting.
The roof is open tonight for the opener against the D-backs and the Cardinals. 83 degrees expected to be the temperature at or around first pitch tonight.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful right there.
Beautiful night at Chase Field for baseball when it cools off a little bit. So the roof will be open. All right, game one between the D-backs and the Cardinals. Let's get you a key to tonight's game from Gambo.
Listen, man, I need you to be the key master.
I am the key master.
Arizona Sports, the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball. D-backs keys to the game. Driven by Trucks Only, the Valley's number one independent dealer and home of the lifetime engine warranty.
All right, I'm going to expand on Paul Goldschmidt's struggles. He's 8 for 44 with a whopping 16 strikeouts. He's got one extra base hit. It was a solo shot opening day against Los Angeles. But if you dig a little bit deeper, you're going to realize that here's the key to the game. Don't throw Paul Goldschmidt any fastballs. He's actually hit them pretty well. Fastball's just fine. You know, he's got a 273 average and a 545 slugging percentage against four seamers. But he has not been able to hit off-speed pitches, especially sliders. That's where you've been able to get him. So the key to the game, with Arenado haven't been able to hit a home run since last August, and Paul Goldschmidt really struggling, is give them a lot of off-speed stuff. They're not hitting it.
All right, that's going to do it for us. We are out of here. We will see you Monday, straight up 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a great night, everyone.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.